A tired mother's prayer for Mother's Day. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my sanity to keep. For if some peace I do not find, I'm pretty sure I'll lose my mind. I pray I find a little quiet, far from the daily family riot. May I lie back, not have to think of what they're stuffing down the sink, or who they're with, or where they're at, and what they're doing to the cat. I pray for time all to myself. Did something just fall off a shelf? To cuddle in my nice soft bed. Oh no, another goldfish dead. Some quiet time, for goodness sake. Did I just hear a window break? And that I need not cook or clean. Come on, I've got the right to dream. Yet now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my wits about me keep. But as I look around, I know I must have lost them long ago. Mothering Sunday is always a rather controversial occasion, was in my last church, especially given the number of women who had never married or never had children. Rather like Valentine's Day or Christmas Day itself, there was always a danger that these festivals would become rather painful and divisive, drawing distinctions between the haves and the have-nots, those who had a Valentine to love, children to celebrate, and a family to gather around them at Christmas time, and others who sometimes felt very much alone. And yet, though we were careful to ensure that every woman received flowers on Mothering Sunday, we still felt it right to celebrate the gift of motherhood. For one thing, all of us have or have had mothers. For another thing, the vocation of the mother is one of the most important, privileged, stressful, sacrificial callings on which any woman can ever embark. That element of sacrifice and stress comes out clearly in today's reading from the Bible. For both readings take place in the valley of the shadow of death. In our first reading, the mighty Pharaoh of Egypt, probably Ramesses II, was getting worried about the birth rate among the Israelite slave population and decided on a policy of gender-based genocide. Every boy baby born to an Israelite woman was to be thrown into the River Nile and drowned. Every girl baby was to live. So here's an Israelite woman from the tribe of Levi giving birth to a strapping lad and hiding him from the authorities for 3 months for fear that he will be killed. And finally, she can hide him no longer. He's getting too big and noisy for that. So she makes the first ever Moses basket, a little ark. The description with bitumen reminds us of the description of Noah's ark back in the book of Genesis. And in her little ark, she places not a whole lot of animals, but just one small baby before lowering it into the reeds at the side of the river. Well, she has obeyed the law, sort of. She's thrown the baby into the water, and yet that little ark holds out the faintest possibility of survival. And you can imagine the sheer agony of that mother as she turns her back on her baby, hoping against hope that somehow that child will be safe. And what of our gospel reading? Well, here a second mother looks on as her child, aged 30-something, hangs from a Roman cross. When he was a baby, this boy escaped death at the hands of another ruler, Herod, who, like the Pharaoh before him, had embarked on a policy of gender-based genocide, killing all the boy babies in the little town of Bethlehem. Jesus escaped then, but he hasn't escaped now. And with just minutes to go before his death, Jesus looks at his mother. He looks to his beloved disciple John, who stands beside her, and he places his mother in the care of his closest friend. And then they too turn away, and the disciple takes Mary home because the sight has become simply too much to bear. And it's not, of course, that these are normal stories, that these are the usual experiences of mothers, especially not here in the Western world. But while these may be at the extreme end of the spectrum, there's no question that all motherhood involves times of great joy and happiness, of course, but also times of stress and sacrifice. Whether it's the pain of childbirth and the exhaustion of those early years, whether it's the partial sacrifice of a promising career, whether it's the toddler tantrum or the broken nights, whether it's the sheer anxiety when your teenager hasn't returned home and hasn't charged his mobile and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, this calling could hardly be described as an easy one. It's rich, of course. It has times of the greatest pride and the greatest joy, but it is not easy. So here's where our Bible readings have two messages for us today. A message for mothers and a message for children, especially grown-up children. The message for mothers, and yes, for fathers as well, is simply this: do not fear. Do not fear. Because even our two Bible stories today, a baby dropped in the water, a young adult hanging from a cross, turn out well in the end. Why? Because God loved those children far more than we could ever do. In the case of the baby, the story of one of Pharaoh's daughters seeing him in his little ark is very familiar. Ramesses II, we know from history, had no fewer than 60 daughters. 60. Extraordinary. And here is one of them going to the river to bathe and moved at the sight of this healthy 3-month-old baby lying in the water in his little ark. The baby's sister, in a wonderful bit of quick thinking, comes up to Pharaoh's daughter at just that point, suggesting that if she'd like to adopt the child, the sister and her mum will take care of the arrangements. And so the baby's mother ends up getting paid to bring up her own child. Now, many of us would dream of that. What a great thing. That sounds like a very good arrangement. And that son, of course, is none other than the mighty Moses. In the case of the crucifixion as well, Jesus' death is followed, of course, by his glorious resurrection. And Mary is almost certainly among those 550 people who meet Jesus risen from the dead. We later hear about how Mary and John, the beloved disciple, worshipped as part of the church in Ephesus. So even for Mary, despite everything that she went through, the message of the angel Gabriel, "Do not be afraid," is a crucial one and not just wishful thinking. When my wife Beverly and I first started our family, we were committed to praying for them rather than being constantly anxious about them. We'd seen many other parents who were always worried, especially parents of teenage children, and we really didn't want to take that burden onto ourselves. Instead, we committed ourselves to following the teaching of Peter, "Cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you." And I would like to say that in the 27 years since we first became parents, we have always succeeded in living like that, but I'm afraid that would simply not be true. Being parents of teenagers, especially one of our teenagers, was a real roller coaster ride on occasions, though praise the Lord, it has come good now in a way that is quite miraculous. As a boy who left school with a few C's at GCSE and no A-levels is now happy, motivated, and in his second year of a doctorate at Oxford. But even at our lowest, we had the sense that these were God's children, that he loved them more than we could ever do, and that therefore, in an ultimate sense, we didn't need to fear. Where we're worried, of course, our children get worried too, and it's been no good at all. Where we prayerfully try to hold on to the love that is always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, the grace of God has shone right through. So if that's the message to mothers today, and fathers as well, do not fear. There is a second message here for children, especially grown-up children. Honour your father and mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments, of course. It comes in at number 5 on the list, and it's often seen as one for the kids, because surely it's under 18s who should be honouring their parents and showing them proper respect. But what is interesting is that the only time Jesus referred to this commandment, he wasn't talking to under 18s, he was talking to adults. In fact, he was talking to the Pharisees, who should have been looking after their elderly parents, but who instead were spending all their money on themselves, leaving their parents lonely and poor. And when Jesus hung there on the cross, when, as we now know, he was carrying the whole weight of our salvation on his shoulders, it is amazing that the fifth commandment was right at the forefront of his mind: honour your father and your mother. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, had almost certainly died some years before. Only his mother, Mary, was left. And Jesus was her firstborn son, the one who should have been taking care of her in her old age. So what did Jesus do? He wouldn't be in a position to fulfill his responsibilities. Instead, we're told, he turned to Mary with the words, "Here is your son," and to John with the words, "Here is your mother." It was a moving demonstration of Jesus' tenderness, even at that moment, and his complete absence of self-centeredness and self-pity. And for those of us who still have parents living, and even for those of us who don't, there is something about this commandment that remains really important. Our mothers weren't perfect, of course, and nor are we. Some of us may even have been brought up in rather unhappy homes. But if we take the Ten Commandments seriously, the prayer for grace to honour our parents remains a really important one for every Christian to pray and to practice. To the parents, do not fear. To the children, honour your father and your mother. It's not a complicated message from the Bible today, but it is a very relevant one. And here, of course, we're not alone. Here, we need God's power and the support of our church family to encourage us along the way. For the Bible teaches that it is not good for man or woman to be alone. It is not even good for couples or nuclear families to be alone. We need each other in the family of the church, for it's here that comfort, support, experience, and prayer are to be found. And that means that there's no need to hide our family difficulties in this place. There is no need to pretend that everything is hunky-dory and perfect. There is a need simply to be honest. And where we're honest, we'll quickly discover that the difficulties that we face are not unique, and that's a great relief in itself. And as we're honest, we'll discover too the strength to trust and not to fear, and the challenge to honour and not to ignore. And as we are honest, we'll open ourselves afresh to the grace of Jesus, a grace that is sufficient for us, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. Shall we pray? And Father, as we meet together as your family in this place, so we pray that you would help us to respond to these words from your scriptures. Do not fear, and honour your father and mother. We pray that where we face particular challenges, that you would help us to be able to share them, that this would be a safe place. And we pray that you would enable us as your people to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to be there for one another through good times in family life and through struggles in family life. That your wisdom and your grace would be poured out in this place. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.